There's a place in Door County that's keeping the folk school tradition alive, where students can learn anything from weaving to fine woodworking and everything in between, practically. Hi, Larry Beeler here. We're talking about the Clearing Folk School today, and a couple of guests for you. Here with us by phone is Michael Schneider. Michael is Executive Director of the Clearing Folk School, and he's held that role since 1999. Michael, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thanks for being with us today. Also here with us, Roger Koons. Roger's a geologist, a writer, a filmmaker, a naturalist. I tell you what, he teaches at the school and is a Jensen scholar. Roger, welcome. Thanks for taking time.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's really so great to be on your show. I've been listening to it for a long time.
Well, it's great to have you here. Have you attended, as you listen to Roger and Michael and I talk with them, have you attended a class at the Clearing School? Why do you think folk traditions are important for people to learn? How was your experience at the Clearing? How do you keep connected with nature, maybe? Talk about that a bit. Join the conversation. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Mike, maybe for some people they're wondering, what is a folk school? Maybe you can clear that up for us. What's a folk school?
Well, it depends which folk school you ask, I guess. In our version of it, well, I think all versions, they're very informal, no grades, no exams, no degrees, and as our founder, Jens Jensen, said early on, no pitting of one student against another. At the Clearing, we have a broad range of classes, a lot of art and craft classes. That's the majority are art and craft classes, but we also have classes in the humanities, so book classes, a lot of writing classes, some music classes. And we have a lot of classes in the natural sciences, bird watching, wildflowers, mushrooms, things like that. So a broad range of classes, but in an informal setting and at the Clearing, also in a retreat setting. That's been a tradition here for a long time that when people are here for a week-long class, which is our bread and butter, we keep the public out to the extent that we can, what we call our campus area, and it's very much a retreat setting.
It is, in fact, I've been there. It's a beautiful, beautiful setting. And Roger, you know, it's a school, it's a historical site, it's a natural area, all in one, and more. You call it beautiful and complex. Why is that?
Well, first of all, it is a protected woodland and natural area. It also sits very comfortably atop the Niagara Escarpment, that magnificent geomorphic geologic feature that stretches around the tops of Lake Michigan and Lake Huron all the way over to Niagara Falls. And there's trails that you can wander through the woods by yourself or with small groups. The buildings are historic in themselves. They're masterfully built, and they have a lot of soft edges, I would say, how the buildings integrate beautifully with the natural surroundings. And so the complexity is the integration of all things nature and built together that this master natural landscape architect, Jens Jensen, was able to create this sense of simplicity amongst it all. And that's a favorite aspect of his designs and sense of nature and sense of place to me.
Yeah, it's great. And Mike, let's go to you for a bit to talk about Jens Jensen. It was founded by Jens Jensen. And there are people, I'm sure, who are familiar with his history. But tell us more about Jens Jensen.
Well, he was born in Denmark in 1860, eldest son of a prominent farm family. It was expected when he came of age that he would run the farm. When he was just a child, southern Denmark, including where he lived, was invaded by Prussia. And Prussia, which later became part of Germany in 1871, occupied southern Denmark until the Treaty of Versailles after World War I. So Jensen grew up essentially in occupied southern Denmark and was forced to serve in the German military when he turned 21 and spent most of his military service in Berlin, which at the time was a beautiful garden city, and that's where he fell in love with landscape design and landscape horticulture. Came home after his military service and didn't want to be a farmer anymore, wanted to be a landscape designer, which didn't sit well with his family. Also fell in love with a young woman that his parents didn't approve. She was from a lower social class, which was a thing at that time. So he and his wife, Anna Marie, came to America in 1884, and after a couple of years bouncing around, ended up in Chicago in 1886. Chicago was still rebuilding from the fire of 1871. And he got a job in a small park on the west side, Union Park, as a gardener, and worked his way up in the park system to become superintendent of the entire West Parks District, and became a prominent landscape architect. Back in those days, you were a landscape architect if you said, I'm a landscape architect, because you didn't get a degree back in those days. But he became a prominent landscape architect, first in the park system in Chicago, and later on in private practice. And when he died in 1951, the New York Times ran his obituary and referred to him as the Dean of American Landscape Architects. So he became famous. He attended a folk high school when he was 17 or 18 years old, and that had a profound impact on him. And when he became established in this country, he dreamt of establishing a folk school for young adults somewhere in the Midwest. He wanted it to be on the edge of the wild, high up on a hill or a cliff or a bluff, with a view out over water and with a view of the setting sun. And he found the perfect place in Door County in 1919. And the family used it as a vacation place until 1935. And that's when he started the school.
And it was a school for young landscape architects originally, or was it? Or?
Right. At first, it was primarily for young landscape architects. He ran it. It was influenced by Frank Lloyd Wright in that regard. He liked what Wright was doing with young architects at his schools. And at that time, he and Wright were on good terms. That would end later, and that's another story. But he did a pattern in the clearing that way, that master-student concept. And then when he died in 1951, and the reason people were coming here was no longer here, his longtime assistant, Mirtha Fulkerson, took over and essentially saved this place just through her sheer determination. And she realized that they needed a new program of study after Jensen died, and she is responsible for the program we still follow to this day, this broad range of classes in arts and fine crafts, natural sciences, and humanities.
It is a fantastic story, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. You wonder how things happen in life, you know?
It's kind of meant to be here, I think.
Yeah. And he was meant to be, you know, he gets drafted into the Army, which he doesn't want to do. But because of it, his interest in landscaping and landscape architecture comes to the fore. Roger, what was Jen's vision of respecting nature and rediscovering wilderness?
Oh, it's just brilliant. It's really rediscovering the relationship between people and the wilderness. And when you think back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, when he came to America and started working in the park systems, and he could walk out of Chicago or take a horse or a Model T Ford and be in the prairie. And in fact, the parks such as Garfield Park and Union Park and so on in Chicago, the plantings, they would go out there, dig up the native wildflowers and hawthorn trees and things like that and bring them back into the parks and plant them. So his vision is to reconnect people with nature, because he really believed that at that time in Chicago, which had so many immigrants that were living in squalor, they had difficult jobs, and they knew that he knew that nature could renew people. It could make them healthier and give them a place to have community and to discover places where they could sit and contemplate nature and be immersed in some of their own thoughts. In his designs of the parks, especially Garfield Park, which is my favorite park of his, there's these nooks and hideaways where you can go on the northwest side of it, the northwest corner of the park below the conservatory. There's this wonderful little path that meanders through some little hidden waterfalls, and people can go in there and sit and just, you know, be at peace. And he had the counselor rings. These are adapted from the First Nation and Native American people. And he made a point to note that when you're sitting in a counselor ring, everybody is at the same level. There's no hierarchy. Everybody's in a circle. Everybody can participate. So this bringing together nature into the urban environment so that people can be enriched and healthier and communicate in a respectful way is just one of the magic aspects of his vision.
It's great, and you said it so well, Roger. I appreciate that. And we're going to learn more about, maybe a bit more about Jens Jensen, maybe a bit more about Martha Fulkerson, but also talk more about the courses. And I certainly want to talk with Roger about the courses he teaches in geology, natural history at the clearing. And I hope you'll join in. Have you visited the clearing? Have you been part of a class? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Michael and Roger. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today we're talking about the Clearing Folk School. It's a Door County Academy. Teaches a broad range of traditions like poetry, birding, geology, weaving, fine woodworking, a whole broad range of courses that you could participate in. Guests today, two guests for you. Roger Coons, he's a geologist, a writer, a filmmaker, a naturalist. Great to have him with us, and an instructor at the Clearing School as well. Also, Michael Schneider, our guest, he's the executive director of the Clearing School. So are you interested in writing or poetry or maybe bird watching or maybe you're a quilter? What role do these folk traditions play in your life? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Also love to hear from you if you've taken classes at the clearing and what your experience was like. So please join in, 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Michael, maybe you could give us a tease of what the winter's 2023 programming will have in store for people.
Well, as usual, a broad range of classes. Painting has always been big here, so watercolor, oils, acrylics, pastels, that's a big part of our program. The fiber arts are big for us, so you mentioned quilting and weaving, also knitting, lots of classes in those areas. Writing, and Roger's one of our writing instructors, is important to us. Nature-related classes. We've got a couple of birdwatching classes, wildflower class. We have a couple classes. I co-teach one called Off the Beaten Path, Exploring Wild Door County, that we just go out in October and just hike, and there are a million places to hike up here.
Yeah.
And just talk about whatever we see. We have a great class in the middle of summer called Hike, Bike, and Paddle, where they spend some days hiking, some days biking, some days kayaking. And woodworking, woodcraft is big for us. So fine woodworking, wood turning, wood carving. But we have, and people can go to our website and take a look and see just how broad our offering is.
Yeah, and if you the website is, I mean, if you just typed in the clearing, I would imagine, or the Clearing Folk School,
right,
it's going to pop
it's
up.
It's theclearing.org, and they'll go right to it.
Very, very simple. And Roger, you teach a class on geology, natural history at the clearing, and
yes.
And I imagine the Niagara Escarpment comes into play.
That's a big part of it, Larry. It's a really fun class. Well, first of all, I've been collecting fossils since I could crawl. So it's just a real natural habitat for me to be wandering around looking at the geology. And what's really, I think, really fun about it, and the feedback I get from all the people that have been in the classes over the last, well, I've been teaching there about 20 years, 22 years now. And one thing is, people come in and they say, well, I really thought I understood Door County. And so they discover what's underfoot, what holds up the peninsula. And, in fact, we talk about Wisconsin geology and Great Lakes geology over 4.55 billion years. So we're kind of like time travelers, and we're kind of like solving a mystery, like a Sherlock Holmesian type mystery of, How do we know this stuff? How was this stuff made? I mean, interesting little facts like the Niagara Escarpment, which is made out of dolomite, is part of an ancient marine sea that originally formed between 15 and 20 degrees south of the equator. And now it's 45 degrees north of the equator and a cliff. And this often is pretty shocking to people. We've also collected a lot of fossils around the peninsula, and a lot of them have ended up into a Jens Jensen-style fossil wall, which is over by the forge. And I think a lot of students sharpen their senses, and they rediscover an appreciation for nature. We don't just talk about rocks. We talk about all the ecosystems and the soil systems and the groundwater systems that are affected by the geology underfoot, and how the bays and the topography were formed, and why people settled where they settled, and how they get around. And we also talk a lot about Jensen's design philosophies, and you know, Bob Gracie, who teaches a course there on Jensen's landscape architecture. We dovetail with his teachings as well. And we talk about modern challenges like climate change. Climate change has happened all through geologic time, and so we talk about the ones in the past and what's happening now. And I think Jensen would be all over that because he really wanted to preserve and protect nature. So those are some of the things that are in the class.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating, to be perfectly honest. And you were
join us.
And you're a Jensen. And by the way, you sent me a couple of your DVDs and your book, and I really appreciate it. I can't wait to finish reading. Didn't see that coming.
Thank you.
But you do or have done an impersonation sort of Jens Jensen.
Yes. So this is Tammy Musil, who's the winter program director there, asked, I've written a lot of monologues, performance monologues over the years, and she would come to them. And one day, this is all Tammy's fault, because she said, why don't you write something about Jens Jensen? And I said, well, I never met him. I was born after he passed, and my monologues have before that dealt with people I had met. And she said, so what? Go do it. And so I took Tammy's advice, and I dove in, and I became a Jensen scholar. I mean, he's such a fascinating man, and he never had a year that was quiet and boring. Throughout his entire life, I mean, even in his 80s, he was building rock walls and stuff. And so, having done a lot of performance monologues around the Midwest, and I had an off-Broadway show a few years ago, and my wife, Anne, and I started researching the proper costume, what he would wear, the period piece, the hat, the suits he would wear all the time. And also then I had to make a mustache that looked like Jensen's, which was quite an outrageous mustache. And so the film performance piece that I sent you is Jensen at the Clearing and over at the Ridges Sanctuary with Emma Toft. They were family friends, and, you know, really diving into his ethic, his design sense, and his sense of nature, and also just his personality. It's called An Evening with Jens Jensen because I wanted to portray what it would be like if you and I sat down with Jensen for an evening and just got to talk to him. So that's the... And I'm writing a book on the same thing, which will include more stories. But that's part of the Clearing history Mike and I are working on.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it, Roger. And thanks so much for sending it. Craig in Sister Bay has a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Mike. Roger.
Hey, Craig.
I'm a student. I have taken classes at the Clearing. This past summer, I took two workshops and then one week-long class. And the week-long classes were you come to the campus and you eat there, you sleep there, you live there for a full week. And I wanted to just point out one of the things from a student standpoint that I was unprepared for in the experience. I went to take a Mokuhanga printmaking workshop, which is a Japanese style of woodblock printmaking. What I was not prepared for is the fact that not only did I learn about Mokuhanga, but I also learned something about yoga, which was another class that was going on concurrently. And I also learned something about geology, which was another one of the classes that was going on concurrently, give or take a million years. Right, Roger?
Yeah, I remember sitting down in the circle there and talking about this. It was so much fun.
But there are so many things that I learned that I was not prepared to learn. I didn't think I was going to learn. You know, you think you go and sign up for a Mokuhanga workshop, you're going to learn about Mokuhanga, which I did. What I was not prepared for was the fact that I learned a lot about other things, which comes from this kind of community format that the school engages in, which I think is really important. The other thing is that I think is so neat is you show up to the school for your class and you immerse yourself, you know, in all the things that Mike and Roger have been talking about. And you don't leave. You don't have to leave. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to worry about, you know, anything, any of the things that, you know, you have to take care of yourself on a day-to-day basis. It's a huge reset. You know, you're in there. You don't have to worry about anything. And that's a wonderful part of the experience.
Well, Craig, Thank you so much. Michael, that's a pretty good...
pretty nice testimonial.
Yeah, it's a very nice testimonial. What about from the teacher side, Roger? I mean, do you kind of feel the same way?
Oh, yeah. It's what Craig is talking about is in the evening, sometimes in the afternoon, and certainly at lunches and at the meal times. They're all community lunches and meals, and we have time down at the council ring on the edge of the Niagara Escarpment, which looks over Green Bay at sunset, and it's, you get all these people that you haven't met, or there's a few people that have taken my geology class and my writing class 3 or 4 times now. They come back, and it's like seeing old friends, and their lives are evolving and changing, and we get to get caught up on that, and in the writing class, write about a lot of that stuff. And Craig is exactly right. You know, there's this community of people, and there's a respectfulness. There's, you know, no meanness or finger pointing or yelling and screaming and stuff. And it's very civil and wonderful and constructive and soul building. It's really, as an instructor, it was a long time before I actually took a class there. And Anne and I took a watercolor painting class. And she's taken weaving and spinning and painting and things like that. And so in all of this, the student becomes the teacher and the teacher becomes the student. Mm. And it's such a wonderful way to merge the skills. The students, and I often hesitate to call anybody students there, these are people with profound life experiences unto themselves. And so they bring to the clearing this amazing knowledge of their lives and their experiences. And as a storyteller and a writer, I soak this stuff up. I mean, I just can't stop listening to their stories. It's just a beautiful part of the folk school. And Jensen was a storyteller. He loved it. So he did the same thing.
It's a wonderful, wonderful experience Craig has had. And I thank you, Craig, so much for talking about it. I really appreciate it. Marcus in Milwaukee has a different kind of question. So let's go there. Marcus, hi.
Hi. So my friend and I go down to Grant Park. It's in South Milwaukee. We go looking for fossils, interesting rocks, whatever. We're both kind of rock hounds. We come across these bluish kind of gray ones. I believe they're called stromatolites. And I was wondering if that's part of that inland sea that you were talking about. And the other thing is a quote that I heard. The quote goes like this: the world is my classroom. Everyone and everything has a lesson to teach. Wisdom is the ability to decipher the lesson.
Hmm.
Beautiful quote. And yes, stromatolites are part of that ancient sea 420 million years ago. And the neat thing about stromatolites is they're mounds. And Larry, I don't know if you've seen these things, but they're kind of moundy type, beautiful organisms. And we see them all over Door County and all over the Midwest. But we can tell things like the depth of seawater, the strength of tides, and the environment in which these organisms lived. And they're really, that's part of the reef system, the coral reef and the bioherm, as they call them, reef systems that grew in this ancient sea back when the coral reefs were evolving, and they were invented just before that. And they sucked up so much carbon from carbon dioxide to build their calcium carbonate shells that they actually changed the composition of the atmosphere by reducing the CO2 and increasing the level of oxygen, which ultimately led to, after forests did the same, the air that we can breathe. So these things are profound in that they helped create the world that we evolved in and we are living in today. So, yes, stromatolites are really cool fossils and really important.
Marcus, there you go. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh my goodness me. The Lost my train of thought there for just a second. You have a film as well on the escarpment, and I imagine you use that in your teaching, Roger.
Yeah, it was, again, the clearing staff, which, you know, Mike has, I know he will say he's the luckiest executive director ever, but his staff is fantastic. To a person, I love them. And again, at one point, I think it was probably Tammy again, but she and some of my students that were in my classes said, when are you going to make a book out of this? Now, I'm a geologist, so when I say soon, it could be millions of years. You know? I had been filming things on the escarpment all its entire length from Fond du Lac through the clearing all the way across Canada down to Niagara Falls. And so I basically put my course into film. And my son, Matthew, who is an engineer and a professional photographer, he and I went to Iceland with Anne, and we filmed the glaciation sequences there on glaciers. We went to Hawaii to film the volcanic eruptions for the ancient Proterozoic times when there were volcanoes in Wisconsin. And we went to coral reefs to film some of the coral reef scenes. And all of that, it's a journey through, you know, billions of years of the Earth's history. And very, very honored that it won some awards, and it was actually shown in Hollywood, if you could believe that. So, yeah, it's a fun movie, and I will pose this question. Even though we find no dinosaur bones in the upper Midwest, in Wisconsin or anywhere, were there dinosaurs here? And that is answered in the film. Which is available for sale at the clearing.
There you go. Oh, well, I can't wait to, I really can't wait to watch it. It sounds wonderful. Do classes go on, Mike? Do they go on kind of through the year, or?
Yes, although we're most known for our week-long classes, which begin in early May and end in late October, we have two other programs. We have a winter program. This will be our 48th year for our winter program. Starts in early January, runs for 8 weeks. Those are all day classes, mostly taken by people who live up here. And then we have what we call the workshop program. It runs concurrently with our week-long class program. Starts usually in early June and runs into early November. And those are 1 and 2 day classes, but they're non-residential. But both the winter program and the workshop program, the classes, the range of classes is very similar to what we do in our week-long program.
And, you know, there's, I'm sure the costs of attending are vary, obviously, depending on if it's a day-long class or you're there for the whole week.
Well, we think, we think our prices are the best deal in Door County. We're a not-for-profit, and my philosophy has always been, you know, for-profit businesses, and, you know, they have to charge the most that they can for their product or service. And I think the philosophy of a not-for-profit should be to charge the least amount that you can for your product or service while still making a profit. You have to make enough money to operate.
Sure.
And to replace things as they break. But we've been told many times over the years that, you know, for a week-long program for sure, that we're the best deal going in Door County.
Well, I would tend to agree with that. It sounds like a wonderful experience for so many people. And again, your website is
www.theclearing.org, O-R-G, .org.
Theclearing.org, O-R-G. Well, Mike, Roger, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. If you didn't get that site location down, it's on our page at ideas@wpr.org/Larry. You can get it there. But you guys are doing some wonderful work, and I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Appreciate
it
very
much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry, so very much.
See you, Roger.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Mike Schneider, Executive Director of the Clearing School, Roger Coons, geologist, writer, filmmaker, naturalist. Wouldn't it be fun to take a class from Roger or Mike, for that matter? I really enjoyed talking with him. I hope you enjoyed listening. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll talk about insects that migrate. There are some that migrate every year. Plus, we'll look at bugs to look out for when you bring your holiday tree inside this year. That and more coming up tomorrow at 11 on The Larry Mueller Show. Stay with us. Lots in store and on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.